Let's take our Bibles now to and turn to Zechariah chapter 14. It's the last chapter of the book of Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 14, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 21. And so starting in Zechariah 14, verse 1, these are God's words. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee, just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord, my God, will come, and all the holy ones with him. And that day there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle, for it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But it will come about at evening time there will be light. And in that day living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the east or eastern sea, and the other half toward the western sea. It will be in summer as well as in winter. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. And that day the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. All the land will be changed into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem will rise and remain on its site from Benjamin's gate as far as the place of the first gate to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. People will live in it, and there will no longer be a curse, for Jerusalem will dwell in security. Now this will be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples who have gone to war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongue will rot in their mouth. It will come about in that day that a great panic from the Lord will fall on them, and they will seize one another's hand, and the hand of one will be lifted against the hand of another. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be gathered, gold and silver, and garments in great abundance. So also like this plague will be the plague on the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, and all the cattle that will be in those camps. Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. And if the family of Egypt does not go up or enter, then no rain will fall on them. It will be the plague with which the Lord smites the nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. In that day there will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, "Holy to the Lord." And the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the bowls before the altar. Every cooking pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to the Lord of hosts, and all who sacrifice will come and take of them and boil in them, and there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts in that day. Those are God's words. For those who have come out of exile from Babylon, this book is given, and they're supposed to be now rebuilding the temple. And there is a warning here, as the book ends, of a day coming when the Lord will bring judgment upon the Jewish nation, which we've sort of already heard about in previous chapters. And while the gates of hell are threatening new nation, which is the church, the remnant pictured here, it cannot defeat the church. They will not be cut off. That remnant will not be cut off. Why? It is because of verse 3. The Lord goes forth to fight against their enemies and for the people of God. And so the promise here of judgment to the church's enemies is also a blessing promised through trials for the church. Verse 9, you see the King of Kings, Christ, who is our mediatorial King, will reign sovereign over all the earth and over all, as we look at other scriptures. His gospel kingdom will spread. As king, he will bring judgment against all who fought against the church and who continue to fight against the church, shown here by the plagues. But for the remnant, for the church, there is set up for them the gospel worship to which saints should attend diligently. That's verse 16. Verse 17, those who neglect the duties of gospel worship will be cursed. They will not be blessed. They're showing themselves to be just like the nations surrounding Judah. They will be seen by God as those who dishonor Him. And they will get no rain. To them will come the plague, which the Lord will smite them with, whether Jew or Gentile. If you do not attend upon the means of grace in public worship, you will be judged. But, beloved, those who fulfill the duties of worship will be blessed with grace from God, verses 20 and 21, to be holy before Him. And so we are called to be the church and to remain part of her. And so be diligent to attend upon the worship of God, that the Lord would bless us, His people, until Christ returns again. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You that You are God who blesses us, Your people, not only of the Jews, but of Gentiles too, all who believe the gospel unto salvation. Father, we're thankful that You have given us of Your Son who You delivered over, that You sent, and He came of His own accord, in accordance with Your will, to live a perfect, righteous life, to die the perfect death, sacrificial, atoning death on the cross, so that on the third day, He would, after being buried, He would rise up from the dead and be exalted to Your right hand, where He now sits as King over all. And Father, we praise You for this. We worship You. We adore You because You have delivered over Your Son for us so that His life, His righteousness is attributed to us, and His death has taken our death from us, that we would no longer die, but we would live in Him. Father, we do pray for our congregation. Even this evening, as we have our congregational meeting, we pray that You would give us wisdom for future decisions. And Father, we also pray for the growth of our church, that we would not be lacking in faith or have that weak faith, though it is a true faith, that You would not allow us to have an unbelief about the fact that Your Son is King and He is growing His kingdom. And He has promised to grow His church. And so, Father, give us faith and make us active in telling people about the gospel, about Your Son, Jesus Christ, that many would hear and believe unto salvation, that many would even join us to worship You and hear the gospel preached and read and applied to our lives. Father, we pray that You would be glorified in all that we do, that You would help us and rebuke us where we are failing, but help us and equip us that we might serve You better for Your glory. Father, we do pray for our nation once again, as you command us to, that you would first make us submissive to our governing authorities, in that so that when they do command us to sin, that we would rebel against them and obey you in all things, that they would see our good works and perhaps even glorify you, the Father in heaven, that you would turn their hearts and save them by your Holy Spirit and through your word. Father, that is our prayer, that you would even have them to rule according to your word, that you would not bring from the government a persecution upon your church. And yet that seems to be growing in many areas of the world. Father, we pray for the churches under those governments, that you would protect them and give them strength and diligence and zeal for the truth and for your Son, Jesus Christ, just as we would pray for ourselves. Father, just as we heard in the call to worship, the psalmist who was being persecuted through words, we pray that as we are persecuted through words, that you would give us humble hearts, knowing that we are no better than those persecuting us except by your grace. And that you would give us the words to speak in those times and the strength to endure any punishment or abuse that we might receive. Father, we pray for the church and among the church that you would raise up godly men to be elders and pastors and deacons, even of our church, and for the future, and also for the church throughout the world. We do pray for the Shawnee Church that you would provide a pastor for them soon, and that you would also provide some more officers as they're training them now. Father, we pray that you would do so in your timing and they would be trusting in you. Father, we do also pray for our denomination, that it's General Assembly that's meeting in a couple weeks, that you would have those elders who meet rule according to your word, and you would bless them and make them to have wise decisions, that you would move so that the those recommendations already brought about by committees, if they are not in accordance with your word, that you would cause them to come to nothing, that they would not be approved. And those that honor you would be. Father, we pray for our denomination that you would cause them to love your word, that they would find it sufficient for their faith and life, and that ministers and elders would preach and teach in accordance with your word, and they would put off the desires of the world and the desire to please men. Father, do pray for our children, all of our children, Father, that you would save them, that you would bring them to faith in Christ, that if they are yours and they are your children, that they would be, you would sanctify them by your Spirit and through the Word, that they'd be found diligent to attend upon your Word, as we just read, as we would be as well, and all of our members would be, as we've taken vows to support the work and worship of your church. So, Father, help us in all these things that we've prayed for. We are unable to do these things. So we need your help, because we know apart from you, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So, Father, help us, we pray, and hear our prayers, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.